Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on ikhlas, niyat, checking one's niyat, being aware of what niyat the person is making at all times. So the second hadith an Ummi al-Mu'mineen, Ummi Abdullah Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, qalat, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yaghzu jayshul ka'bah, fa'idha kanu bi bayda'a min al-ardi, yukhsafu bi awwalihim wa akhirihim. قالت قلت يا رسول الله كيف يخسف بأولهم وآخرهم وفيهم أسواقهم ومن ليس منهم قال يخسف بأولهم وآخرهم ثم يبعثون على نياتهم متفق عليه. حضرت عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said an army will advance in order to invade the Kaaba Sharif. So there will come a time when an army will advance to invade the Kaaba Sharif. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. When they reached an even plane, when they will reach an even plane, a flat, open land, a barren land, an open plain, all of them will be swallowed into the earth. Meaning the first and the last, everyone, all of them will be swallowed into the earth. I asked, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how will all of them be swallowed up when among them will be traders and others were not really part of them? In other words, they joined this whole group, but their niyat also was not to go and destroy the Kaaba Sharif. They just joined them because now they saw a massive group going, so here's a chance to do business, so they came along to do business. Their niyat was to do business. Or somebody else just came along, they were going on journey, so they thought maybe if they accompany these people, the road would be safe. So they were people like that. So here specifically the hadith is saying, when amongst them they were traders and others who were not really part of them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, all of them will be swallowed up and they will be resurrected. They will be brought up according to the intentions. So according to what was in their heart, now when they are brought up from the qabr, when they are now resurrected, according to what was in their heart, that is how they will be brought up. So we learn a few points from this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is that when a person is keeping the company of people that have got evil intentions, he's putting himself at risk. Automatically he's putting himself at risk. Why? These people are doing wrong, they're doing bad, they're doing evil. If Allah Ta'ala's azab comes on them, automatically I will face that azab. Even though I may not be involved in that guna, but because I'm with these people, I'm increasing their numbers. Therefore, Muhallab rahmatullah alayhi said, one who joins the sinners by choice and increases their numbers, thereby is inviting the punishment of Allah Ta'ala on himself. Therefore, many of our ulama tell us that sometimes the holiday times and other times, when we know there's so much of gunas that are taking place, especially in the resorts, in the holiday resorts throughout the world, now a person, Muslim, doesn't deliberately take himself to those places. Why there's so much of guna that is taking place there? If Allah Ta'ala's azab has to come, it won't only catch those people, it will catch you also. Even though your niyat may be not to engage yourself in all the haram activities that are taking place on that resort, but the mere fact that you are there, you are inviting the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. Beware of a trial that will afflict not only the oppressors from amongst you. In other words, it will afflict every person. So here, these people had niyat now to do business. So, ulama take out one point from this. Is sometimes businessmen in their thinking that I need to keep the company of these people, the high ranking, the high profile, so that I can do good business. I got to have good contacts with them. But he should think to himself that he's maybe thinking he's having good contact. But to keep the company of such people is dangerous. Therefore, always keep yourself in the company of the pious. You are safe from the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, one of the things ulama also take out of this is when a person keeps himself in the company of the pious, he keeps himself in the company of the masjid, he's actually putting himself in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah ta'ala's special khususi rahmat is coming down on the pious. By him being in that company, he's also benefiting from that rahmat that is coming down, like a fountain that is falling, a waterfall that is falling from high up. When it lands, the splashes reach all the parts around it also. Those parts around it also feel the droplets of water. So when a person is keeping the company of the pious, he's also benefiting from the khususi rahmat that Allah Ta'ala is sending down. So here we learn this point also. Be very, very careful of the company we keep. The next thing we learn and we from this is that the niyat that's concealed in the heart, Allah subhanAllah doesn't forget that. On the day of Qiyamah, when a person now is being brought up, resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, now what is in the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accordingly will reward the person. And one more thing we learn from this hadith is that if we do see somebody in, or we come to know of a person in bad gathering or bad company, then automatically don't assume that that person is involved in that guna. Maybe he's not involved in the guna for us. We shouldn't be there. But if we happen to see somebody in that type of gathering, we shouldn't think that he is involved. This hadith is teaching us that even if he is there, Allah Ta'ala will judge him according to his niyat. In other words, it's not right for a person to be in that type of gathering, but Allah Ta'ala will raise him up. If anything has to happen to him, Allah Ta'ala will judge him according to his niyat. But for us, we don't ever make it such that we go into any gatherings where gunas and sins are taking place. One person had written to Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and told him that I keep the company of Hazrat Mufti Abdul Rahim Lajpuri Rahmatullah Ali, famously the author of Fatawa Rahimiyah. Many people may have read that kitab, or the Fatawa kitab. So he was from Randhir, very, very pious person. So this person wrote to Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib and says that I frequent his gathering, I stay in his company. So Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib wrote back and said that this company of the pious is a priceless treasure. It's something that you can't pay any price for. Such a great thing to keep the company of the pious. But then he gave one point that I'm just mentioning here. And he mentioned that when you keep the company of the pious, don't only keep the company for that ilm, also keep the company for the zawq. In other words, that inner taste and the inner perceptions and decisions that they make, the way they conduct themselves, take that flavor from them, because this is something that you won't even get from the kitabs. Even that a person studies kitabs and kitabs by himself, he won't get that inner zawq. Zawq is that inner perception to do things the right way, to do things the wrong way. Allah Ta'ala has blessed the pious people with this ability, that they're able to make the correct decisions at the correct time, guide people correctly. Sometimes people, many, many years later, they say, I took that advice of Hazrat, and up till now, I'm seeing the benefit of that advice. So one thing we learn is company of the pious is important. The other is to take that zawq and to take that inner perceptions that they had, that feeling, that flavor of deen that they had, to do everything correctly, to do it methodically, to do things in a way according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. As we know, today is Friday. Try and increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we should make it a point of reciting Suratul Kahf. Encourage the family also to recite Suratul Kahf and take advantage of the time between Asr and Maghrib, especially in dua. One easy way to do it is come early for the Maghrib Salat and engage in dua. These are times when duas are answered, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.